Around the clock.
And breaking news now
on Talk Radio 680 WCBM Baltimore and WCBM.com.
Fox News Ready Go, I'm Pam Puso. Bodies have been seen inside a fully submerged South Korean ferry, but so far divers haven't been able to reach them. The ship's captain and two crew members are under arrest.
Reports say he was not at the helm and his crew failed to help get passengers into lifeboats. Some survivors say they were told to stay where they were and those inside became trapped when the ship capsized.
Fox News Ready Go's Alistair Wanklin. Prosecutors say the vessel's third mate, who was steering the ship at the time of the accident, had never navigated those waters before. 29 people are dead, 270 still missing. For a seventh time, a robotic submarine is searching the floor of the southern Indian Ocean in the hopes of finding wreckage from a missing Malaysia Airlines jet. Six previous missions have turned up nothing, and a canvassing of that search area could be complete in a week.
What is not clear is what will happen after that, whether they will widen the search area for that bluefin submersible or whether that will be it for that piece of technology.
Sky News reporter Nick Martin. On Friday, some of the spouses of the missing held a prayer meeting in Beijing. 239 people were on board. Most were Chinese nationals. At least six soldiers are dead after a suicide bombing in Syria, according to activists who say the bomber's car blew up at a checkpoint near a government-controlled town. This as the State Department urges the regime to allow humanitarian assistance to reach the city of Homs.
The regime's bombardment and encirclement of the city is a despicable example of its starve and surrender battlefield approach. We urge the regime to cease its attacks on the old city.
Spokeswoman Jen Psaki. An American drone strike targeting al-Qaeda militants in Yemen has inadvertently killed and wounded civilians. That's according to a Yemeni military official who says nine suspected militants were also killed. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Your side has been desperately
wrong. He continues not to tell the truth.
It's got
to
be a problem.
All thing is a mess.
Let me make this point.
Nobody can justify this.
If I ask a question, I want an answer.
Another crazy school district.
Reaction from both sides.
What's the beef
from the left?
Do you not see the danger?
It's not a fact.
No.
That's what a pinhead says.
No BS, no fluff. Straight up facts.
Straight talking. Spin stopping. Calling out the pinheads and calling it like it is.
Please watch the O'Reilly Factor weeknights on the Fox News Channel.
Weekdays on Fox Business.
Bottom line here is we want investors to be prepared for the day ahead, the week ahead.
Opening bell with Maria Bartiromo.
The concept is to bring perspective, analysis. All day long, I'm speaking with global allocators of capital, CEOs, heads of state, so I can anticipate some of the major moves or reactions, giving investors an edge.
Opening bell with Maria Bartiromo. Weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern on Fox Business.
Defiance in eastern Ukraine as pro-Russian separatists stand their ground.
Pro-Russian separatists here in Donetsk continue to protect the regional parliament. They're patrolling government buildings with bats, whips, and weapons. This is Russian flags fly atop sandbags, car bumpers, and tents. They're defying an agreement between Moscow and Kiev that calls for illegally armed groups to vacate seized Ukrainian property.
Fox News Radio's Jessica Gallagher. If the separatists don't disarm, the U.S. and European Union say they'll slap more sanctions on Russia. In the meantime, Russian President Vladimir Putin reportedly has plans to hand out medals to some of the Russian servicemen involved in the operation to annex the Ukrainian peninsula of Crimea. The White House says there's no indication that healthcare.gov has been compromised, but people who enrolled online are advised to create a new password. The reason? The Heartbleed computer bug. A desperate plea from UNICEF for emergency funding to aid refugees from the Central African Republic forced to flee to neighboring countries because of violence.
Regional Director Manuel Fontaine says a large number of children, more than 1,000, have become separated from their families while fleeing from the Central African Republic.
Which seems to indicate that, obviously, and as we imagine, that a lot of people have left, you know, under a lot of stress and in a hurry for their protection.
Fontaine says only about 10% of the children have been reunited with their families. He says this is a very low rate, but UNICEF is working with other agencies, both inside the CAR and in the countries of refuge, to trace their relatives. In Geneva, Kate Alexander, Fox News Radio.
A few months ago, it appeared to be winding down, but health officials say don't be fooled. A second, milder wave of the flu is now hitting the Northeast. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News Radio.
On the mild side, as we go into the weekend, looks like we are going to be staying dry, too. We'll see some cloud cover overnight, a low eventually dropping back down to 42. Lots of sunshine on Saturday, a high in the mid-60s. Clear Saturday night, lows around 40. And on Sunday, a good deal of sunshine with highs back in the lower 60s. We get into Monday, we are going to be looking at dry weather as well. A mix of clouds and sunshine, a high around 70. And the outlook for Tuesday, rain showers look likely, highs in the lower 70s. I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Our veterans need you.
There are more than 8 million enrollees in healthcare at the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Veterans from previous generations.
And veterans from today's wars.
Challenging medical conditions.
And more women returning than ever before.
Are redefining how care is provided.
Serve those who served our nation.
Bring your medical and healthcare skills to VA. America's heroes need you. Visit vacareers.va.gov.
Information, opinion, passion.
We think you can handle the truth.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM
and WCBM.com.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM. But they should be.
The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis back from a week off. Actually, we did do a show last week. I hope you were here to hear the pre-recorded show. We had Tracy Groves on talking about turkey hunting and Harry Hornick on striped bass. Striped bass management primarily. So here we are on the opening day of the 2014 Spring Trophy Rockfish season. And on the first... Well, it opened yesterday, but the big opening weekend of the Maryland spring wild turkey gobbler season. We did go yesterday with Hammer Hollow Outfitters to a nice little spot in Caroline County and had turkeys all over us, just no one got a shot. We had them gobbling. We had them coming in. We had them hanging up, but a typical turkey day. Didn't see a bird, had birds close, could hear them, knew where they were coming from. Bird that got particularly close to me got hung up on a ditch that was filled with water. The rain in on Tuesday had not only filled the ditch, but it backed that water up into kind of a marshy area, and he was hesitant to cross that to get to the decoys, to get to the call. So we moved, we relocated on him, and heard him again in the area where we suspect he went. We heard him, and then unfortunately we heard a hen turkey calling, and the gobbler shut up and was done. So we assume... What happened was he was looking for a hen. He was coming to us. He couldn't get to us because of the he didn't want to cross the newly formed marsh, creek, whatever you want to call it. And so he tried to go around it. When we reset on him, he found the hen that he was looking for, and off they went. So But good day. One of the other fellows across the field from us was also hunting, had some gobblers in front and behind him. Didn't see any, couldn't close the deal. And their highlight of the day was to watch a big red-tailed hawk dive on one of the turkey decoys, strike it, knock it over, and sit there for a few minutes and wonder what happened. So I would have liked to see that, but that was a pretty cool event. Those are things you don't see anywhere else but out there hunting. So opening day of striped bass season, trophy rockfish season. If you are headed to either of those places, and I'm going to guess that the turkey hunters are headed into the woods by now. If you're not, you're getting to be a little bit late. You want to be set up. You want your decoys out. You want to be in your ground blind or in your position. You know, legal shooting time is like 5 minutes till six. So I'm going to guess that those turkey hunters that would be hearing me and could call, you know, you're welcome to do so. And let me know where you're headed today and that type of thing. So we did have the, you know, I've been talking about the AVN X decoys from Zinc. We had two of those out yesterday. They are very, very realistic looking decoys and performed well. The wind would turn them with the slightest provocation and they would do what they were supposed to do. So very realistic looking. So anyway, just, you know, throwing that out there. We're taking your phone calls right now, if you like, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. I would really prefer that you folks run the show today, call in and have a conversation, rather than have me prattle on so that I always do, even though I do try to give you the best information. But it was a long day yesterday. Let's just say that. I'm not the sharpest tack in the box this morning. So 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680 is the phone number. Also, if you're outside the local Baltimore dialing area and would like to give us a shout, we'd be more than glad to hear from you. Email, if you'd like to email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. That's my last name, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, ellisoutdoors.com. Is the website where you find the Outdoorsman Radio Show, the podcast, links to the Maryland Hunting Quarterly and Maryland Loves Crabs. We're working on the summer issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. A lot of good stuff coming up, and also working on the 2014 edition of Maryland Loves Crabs. And looks like we're going to grow again this year as far as the size of the magazine is concerned. So very enthusiastic about dealing with all the folks we deal with. Meeting some really nice folks out there all across the state. They're good people in this crabbing industry, despite what you might think. So, all right. Let me clear my throat here for a second. There we go. And so there it is. If you'd like to talk about fishing, that'd be fine. Last Saturday, took Jacob, my grandson, took him turkey hunting in Anne Arundel County with our friend Bill. And despite Bill's best effort, again, no bird. We didn't even hear a bird last Saturday. We don't know why. It seemed to be common through the youth turkey season, although some kids were very fortunate, very blessed, and were able to kill a turkey. And, you know, we heard a couple shots yesterday around us for the turkey season, so we don't know how that day went. So look, there's Dick in Randallstown. Let's talk to Mr. Good morning, Dick. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Alan?
I'm good.
How's
what's
family
up
and all?
So far so good.
Good. Listened to you for quite a while. Second time I've ever called.
Okay.
My question is, in the Randallstown area, we're starting to experience more foxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's due to the various construction in the area.
That's possible. There's a lot of construction. You're right.
There's been a lot of movement of various other animals.
Okay.
But they're just, you know, they're not afraid of anything.
That's correct. I have a pair of foxes that's been running through my yard for 20 years. I don't know if it's the same pair. Doubtful. But we're on the path, And I actually, I don't know if you were listening last year, I found a fox that had been suffering from mange, actually holed up in the cat box right beside my steps and died last year. I see them all the time in my neighborhood. I see them all the time, you know, in that area. I don't live far from Randallstown. And I understand what you're saying. There is a lot of construction, as you said. I just think that there's an upswing in the fox population. I think it's been some very good years, and they're being restored to what I would call normal population. You know, we had a tremendous hot outbreak of parvo virus here a number of years ago that almost decimated the foxes. And I think that we, you know, you say that the construction might be, what are you thinking the construction might do? You mean uproot their normal travel areas, or cut down on the amount of woodlands that they have to
cutting down the woodlands that they can hide in?
Yeah. Okay. So in other words, there may not be more foxes, but we're just seeing them because we've cut away their habitat.
Well, I've lived in this area for 40 years.
Right.
Same house.
Yeah. Well, I've been here 20. I don't know whatever. 88 is 23 years, 24 years, something.
And this is the second time I've ever seen a fox.
Oh, my. Oh, my. No, no, no.
I mean, I've seen plenty of deer in the backyard.
Yeah. Okay.
Raccoons, possums,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, foxes have been running rampant in my neighborhood, which is not, again, not far from you, for 20 years. I mean, We used to hear them barking and see our security light go on, and we'd get up out of bed and there'd be a fox in the backyard, and we'd start squeaking and kissing, you know, and it would come, and they'd come right up to our bedroom window, you know, to see what the noise was. So now that was that's been since we lived there. So I mean, I don't disagree with you that there's a lot of construction, a lot of things going on. They're moving a lot of land along Liberty Road out that way. So, you know, it's possible that there's some kind of disturbance. Maybe they've invaded, you know, den sites, and they're looking for den. And of course, this time of year, you know, they bred in January, so they're looking for dens, or they may have already thrown their pups and are out foraging for food for the pups, which is most likely the scenario. Yeah, I'm sure they have. I'm sure they've given birth, and there's, you know, so there's 4 or 5 hungry mouths to feed in each of the dens, and so the males and the females are both out foraging.
Well, out of curiosity, why wouldn't they have headed to Soldier's Delight?
Well, maybe they did. I mean, how do you know they didn't? I mean, they're opportunistic. If they find a loose pile of dirt somewhere, they're gonna, or you know, a tree root or something that's amenable, they're gonna take it over. They're just. You know, it's not like, hey, let's go look for some wood, send out the scouts. I mean, you know, are you concerned about the foxes?
Well, the only possibility that I'd worry about would be rabies.
Yeah, well,
at some point.
Yeah, well, there's two possibilities. One is mange, and the other one is rabies. Rabies is probably a little less common than mange and the foxes, but there is an endemic situation there in both diseases. And the I would say that you have legitimate concerns. I mean, if this is the second time in 40 years you've seen a fox, then I wouldn't be too concerned that you know you're a hot spot. But seriously, however, if you do start seeing foxes in the middle of the day. And they act unafraid. That's possible that you've got a case of rabies there, and especially if they act aggressively. You know, there's two presentations of rabies. One is what they call dumb rabies, which is where the animal just appears listless and has no fear of humans. It appears to be aimless and wandering and turning in circles, perhaps. And that I've seen that in raccoons in the Randallstown area, but also the other one, which is the more aggressive form, where they're attacking, and this is where the rabies are spread from, you know, foxes to maybe groundhogs to, you know, perhaps domestic animals and others. I mean, we've even had back when I lived in Pennsylvania, we even had a horse come down with rabies that was bitten by a fox, so and had to be put down. How's that?
Interesting. But the reason it caught my attention was the fox didn't move, and then it started moving.
Well, sure.
It saw me, and I was within 10 feet of it.
No, you surprised it, and it didn't know what to do. And, if it appeared, I just explained all that. So
yeah.
I would say if it appeared healthy, you probably surprised it. It was, probably paying attention, looking for mice and voles and things like that. And
I assume it goes after rabbits.
Well, I don't know that I'd make that assumption. Maybe baby rabbits, if there are some in the area, yeah. But, again, opportunistic, whatever shows up. If it's turkey poults, if it's baby rabbits, but primarily they're mousers. Okay. Hey, we got other calls. Appreciate the call, Dick. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Yep. There he goes. Let's talk to Ted in Kent Island. Oh, Ted had to leave us. Call back, Ted. Captain Seaweed in Rosedale, good morning.
Hey, how you doing there, Alan? How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good, Alan. You know, I just wanted to tell you, I picked up a few friends, just a conversation here. I picked up a few friends over the past couple months because of the heavy snow and not too much area for them to feed from. But I picked up a couple squirrel friends and a lot of birds that come up to my balcony regularly now. And actually, the squirrel comes up to the screen, almost taps on the screen to make me aware that he's there, and I feed him his nuts or whatever it is, and he's literally taking them out of my hand.
Wow.
Literally taking them out of my hand. Peanuts. He loves peanuts.
Yeah, and well, they do. Yeah.
I get those from one of the restaurants. Now, the many different types of birds, I'm not too familiar with them, but the red bird there is a woodpecker. I got a woodpecker that comes up.
The red bird is a cardinal.
That cardinal, yes. And the blue jays. And how they interact with one another, they're getting kind of used to me, too. They let me stand right there while they're eating. Where at one time they were flying away, but now they're, think the Captain Seaweed's a pretty good guy, I guess.
Well, how about that? Yeah, you bring them food. I'd think you were a pretty good guy, too, if you brought me food every day.
Hey, let me tell you another story. I'm down at the Inner Harbor. No area at all except snow. I'm in back of Phillips Seafood.
Right.
It's been going on for about maybe 2-3 weeks. The seagulls would see me come up with my deliveries, and they must have obviously noted I wear my red shirt or my red cap or the vehicle that I'm in. Nobody's around until I pull up at them bingo, and they start coming over to my vehicle. I had it to the point where they were, catch the food in the air, which they would do with no problem. But I had it to the point where they were taking the food right out of my hand. I mean, a flat part of my hand. I put the piece of bread there, and they fly right past it. Stay off for a second. The next thing, they would, another one would come in and bellow, dive in and grab it right out of my hand.
You're fearless, then, Captain.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, wait a minute. And then after all this, now they don't want to have nothing to do with me when I go down there with the bread. They don't even see me anymore.
Huh. What'd you do? Kick one of them?
Huh?
What'd you kick one of them? Did you kick one of them?
No, certainly not. But what I'm simply saying is the food's so prevalent down there now, or so available down there now in that area.
Oh, I see.
They don't even look for me now.
Huh.
But before they used to look for me, so I feel kind of jilted because of that.
Yeah,
well. You take care of them. If you don't feed them, they leave you when they get something else. If they can find it somewhere else.
I'm not saying nothing, Captain. I'm thinking stuff, but I'm not saying it.
Okay.
All right, buddy. You have a happy Easter.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to tell you that.
That's cool.
With you for a while.
I know.
You take care.
All right, buddy. Bye. Thanks. Bye-bye. Captain Seaweed. I mentioned Chesapeake Outdoors earlier where that I've been promoting the AVNX zinc decoys. Nice decoys, by the way. However, turkey season has arrived, rockfish season has arrived, and I want to tell you more about the rods and reels and tackle. You know, you can get fresh line wound on your spools if you're headed out doing some trolling. For the striped bass, you've got a brand of lures down there locally known as Spankin' Stripers. That's the brand. Large selection, very nice lures, locally tied for Chesapeake Bay rockfish, bucktails, and parachute lures. Then they have the heavy-duty trolling lures for deep trolling, commonly called mojos. They come in 16, 20, and 24-ounce heads on these parachutes. That's the size of the lead weight. The jig head is 16 ounces. That's a pound, or a pound and 4 ounces, or a pound and 8 ounces. So if you really want to troll deep, they've got a large selection, all custom colors. So, spring turkey calls, decoys, shotguns, ammunition, rockfish tackle, all the live bait you could need, want, or imagine for any type of fishing. If you catch a big old fish and you want to fillet and release, they've got the Bubba Blade knives. You ought to see those. They're really nice. And if you're just getting ready for, you know, the upcoming season, you want to get a new bow, they carry Matthews bows, they carry Mission bows, Parker bows, and crossbows by Mission and Barnett. Chesapeake Outdoors is where I'm talking about. Your first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers on Kent Island, Route 50 East. If you're headed there from here, it would be exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island. The phone number is 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors.
If you enjoy decoy collecting and great wildlife art, waterfowl hunting, or a scenic walk along the bay, it's time for the 33rd Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum. This year's event is Friday evening, May 2nd, Saturday, May 3rd, and Sunday, May 4th. Admission is only $8 for the weekend. Over 120 exhibitors and artists display paintings and prints, sculptures and carvings, photography, and sportsman's collectibles. The family-friendly festival has great food and lots to see and do. The annual live auction is 5:30 p.m. on Saturday at the Activity Center. Free shuttle buses run between the museum, the middle school, and the Activity Center. Learn about the great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake Bay at the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum on May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. For more information, visit decoymuseum.com or call 410-939-3739. See you at the Decoy Festival.
It's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat motor and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the new Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom-tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Baylinex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex spray-on bed liner.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
You're on the most powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
Well, my baby, she's been watching all my hunting videos. She's been itching, she's been begging, she's been wanting to go. I said, you gotta get up early. And honey, you ain't gonna like it, 'cause you can't pee and you gotta be quiet. But she was bound, she was determined, so I took her down and outfitted her from head to toe. And oh my gosh, my baby looks good in camouflage. She's all decked out in brown and green. She's the sexiest tree I've ever seen. Can't concentrate when we're sitting in my stand. She's holding my gun and I'm holding her hand. And even when it's cold, she's still hot. My baby looks good in camouflage.
Yeah. All right, we're back. Just got an email from an animal damage control guy that I know has far more experience with foxes than I will ever have. And he says, foxes have small pups right now. They're placing heavy demands on the adults for feeding. The adult females will tend to lay or loaf near the den during the daytime when not hunting. He says, I see them often this time of year, and they tend not to run off. I would say if they have to defend their den, they probably would stand their ground, and perhaps maybe that's what Dick from Randallstown was experiencing. There's a fox den nearby. So, all right. Well, the General Assembly has come and gone and done its damage this year. And of particular note, by the way, our phone number, and please feel free to interrupt me at any time, 410-922-6680 is our phone number, 1-800-922-6680. Email is ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. As I noted before, the hunters, the hunting community, has had no representation in Annapolis this year. There are a variety of reasons for that, of which I know all of them. Some of them I can share and some of them I can't. Some of them I will and some of them I won't. But let's just leave it at that for now. And I will soon have an announcement for you. I'm considering. Beginning to put together an enterprise that will hopefully be able to link hunters with information throughout the state. And in addition to that, be able to send an advocate to Annapolis for hunters. If you would be interested in such a network, I would enjoy hearing from you, particularly by email, and that's ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. What I envision is an information network. Anyone with email could sign up, no charge, and there would be a regular newsletter go out to let folks know what was going on, maybe more so than, you know, once a month. Depending on the time of year, it could be twice a week during the General Assembly. I don't know. I don't know how it's all going to work yet. I'm putting the pieces together now. along with everything else that I do. One thing that I will tell you is that Sunday hunting, if you enjoy an extra day to hunt in whatever county, wherever you live, or you hunt in counties where Sunday hunting is available, is under attack. And it's already started. It started last year, actually, let me back up. It started from the beginning. All right. It's become more pervasive now. The organized horse community, as I mentioned before, and you'll hear this from time to time again because it is one of the biggest threats to hunting that we have here in Maryland, is very well connected, very well funded. It's got a lot of smart people, and they have a lot of money. And money talks and BS walks when it comes to politics in Annapolis or anywhere else. So they've got the money. They've got the access to the politicians, and they have a game plan now where they're going to move to attack Sunday hunting on every front. One little toe in the door this year was Senate Bill 966, which passed. And if you hunt or live in Calvert County, Charles County, or St. Mary's County, watch out. The bill requires the Department of Natural Resources to establish a program to train rifle shooters to hunt deer to control the deer population in Calvert, Charles, and St. Mary's County. Stop. The bill orders DNR to establish a program to train rifle shooters to hunt deer to control the deer population in Calvert, Charles, and St. Mary's County. The fiscal summary, DNR general fund expenditures increased by $120,900 in FY 2015 for additional staff to implement the bill. No revenue. The bill adds a deer hunting season specific to Calvert, Charles, and St. Mary's County and allows additional hunting of deer in those counties with a shotgun under a deer management permit. DNR must adopt regulations to implement certain provisions of the bill. In other words, Senator Dyson and Senator Middleton in this bill have basically extended the deer season in those three counties, Calvert, Charles, and St. Mary's counties, to the end of March. Let me say that again. The deer season, as if this law is signed into law by the governor and not vetoed, the General Assembly has established an additional 2 months to the end of the deer season in February and March. That's right. You and I can go into those three counties. That would be Calvert, Charles, and St. Mary's with our hunting license and our shotguns, and we can go into those counties in February and March and kill white-tailed deer. February and March. The bucks have shed their antlers. The does have been bred since November, so November, December, January. February, March, that's 150 days into a 200-day gestation period. So the does at the end of March are anywhere from a month to a month and a half from dropping the fawns. It is also authorized anyone with a crop damage permit, if I understand the bill, any farmer with a crop damage permit or a deer management permit, as they're called, to harvest deer throughout the deer season, which is I believe September 5th, the first Friday in September this year, when the archery season starts, through the end of January. And in those three counties, Calvert, Charles, and St. Mary's, that would be till the end of March. If you have a crop damage permit, you may shoot deer with a shotgun throughout September, October, November, December, January, February, and March, 7 months. Except for Sundays. Now, usually, farmers with deer management permits have been authorized to shoot deer on their farms 7 days a week. Usually, those crop damage permits are weapons specific for the deer season. In other words, if archery season is in and you have a crop damage permit or a deer management permit, as it's officially called, you may shoot deer with a bow on a crop damage permit with whatever weapon, whatever tool is in season at the time. Archery tackle, bows and arrows and crossbows in the archery season, muzzleloaders in the muzzleloader season, firearms in the firearm season. Not in Calvert, Charles, and St. Mary's. The farmers now will be authorized legally, if this bill is not vetoed, to shoot deer with shotguns beginning in the archery season, running through the archery season, running through the muzzleloader season, running through the rut, running through firearm season, and into the end of March, except for Sundays. The Sunday exception was an amendment. We understood that the organized horse people and the Farm Bureau were in support of this bill. And at the end of the day, when the amendment was added that they were slobbering over and salivating over, as far as the horse people were concerned, where they restricted it to no Sundays, where that's where they got the victory. They're not allowed to shoot deer with a crop damage permit on Sundays. Now we'll be safe. They didn't necessarily realize that by extending the season for an additional 2 months, the prime fox chasing season, January, February, March, would be affected by a bunch of deer hunters in the woods authorized to use their own firearms through February and March. Now they're not so sure they support this bill. This is a bad bill. It was a topic of discussion the other day at the Wildlife Advisory Commission. From what I understand, the commission is asking the governor to veto the bill. Senator Dyson and Senator Middleton have given deer management control to the General Assembly in those three counties. If we read the fiscal and policy note, which we will do after this break, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Clyde Sports Shop. There the other day. Just talked to Bill and Clyde the other day. They were busy. Rockfish season coming in. Turkey season coming in. The turkey ammo was flying out the door. Guys were looking at guns. It was great. It was great. There were some guys in there checking out the A5. You know, the shotgun, the semi-automatic shotgun, the autoloader from Browning that has the 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee. That's one Billy likes, the A5. The new A5, in camo, too, by the way, Mossy Oak breakup. They also were checking out all the rods and reels. Guys were going for all kinds of fish while I was in there. They were checking out the trolling rods, getting their lines wound on the reels, getting their rods repaired, you know, having guides put on, tips replaced, buying licenses. It was great. It was great. Turkey season's here. Rockfish season is now here also. If you need anything for any type of fishing, any type of hunting, any firearms for personal protection, you know, they've got shotguns that are built for personal protection. They've got a pretty good selection of handguns now. They'll walk you through the process on purchasing a handgun. I recommend Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. You can call them anytime at 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. Or if you're a fisherman and you want to get the latest fishing information, call the hotline, 247-FISH, 247-3474, 247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop Hotline. Stop by Clyde's, tell them you heard about it on the Outdoors and Radio Show. You'll be glad you did.
If you enjoy decoy collecting and great wildlife art, waterfowl hunting, or a scenic walk along the bay, it's time for the 33rd Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum. This year's event is Friday evening, May 2nd, Saturday, May 3rd, and Sunday, May 4th. Admission is only $8 for the weekend. Over 120 exhibitors and artists display paintings and prints, sculptures and carvings, photography, and sportsman's collectibles. The family-friendly festival has great food and lots to see and do. The annual live auction is 5:30 p.m. on Saturday at the Activity Center. Free shuttle buses run between the museum, the middle school, and the Activity Center. Learn about the great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake Bay at the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum on May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. For more information, visit decoymuseum.com or call 410-939-3739. See you at the Decoy Festival. If you enjoy gardening, I always recommend Schellinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. Papa John's greenhouses are bursting with beautiful plants and flowers. Annuals by the pack or flat, and perennials by the pot. Bedding plants, planters, and hanging baskets, too. Colorful pansies, impatiens, and petunias. They even carry the proven winter specialty plants. Papa John's Farm has all the vegetable plants, too, ready to plant in your home garden. Tasty tomatoes, squash, onions, watermelon, cantaloupe, 10 varieties of hot peppers and herbs, too. Papa John's Farm, just off I-97 at Exit 12. That's 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. You can drive right to the greenhouses to make your selections or call 410-969-5909. Think about flowers and plants from Papa John's for your garden or for your church. Easter's April 20th. Mother's Day's coming soon, May 11th. Call 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. Visit Schellinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse
near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Trailer for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes, oh, but 2 hours of pushing broom buys a 8x12 4-bit room. I'm a man of means by no means, king of the road. Third boxcar, midnight train, destination.
All right. Hey, by the way, if you're trolling today in the, you know, in the Mid-Bay area, high tide at the Baltimore Harbor is 10:18 today, 11:11 tomorrow. So, you know, if you don't catch something immediately, yeah, you might be waiting for the tide to move a little bit. That's all. I was talking to a charter captain the other day. Said all the bass are, all the striped bass are still in the shallows. Water temperature hasn't gotten to the point where it's optimal for spawning. So you're going to be catching a bunch of bass that have a bunch of eggs in them today, just so you're aware of that. And I don't know what effect that has on, you know, on the future. But, hey, go out there and catch that biggest rockfish you ever caught in your life. That's the idea. So hopefully you'll catch one of 40 inches or larger and be able to collect a citation from the Angler Awards program, the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Today's the day. So, I would also, if you're trolling, I would troll the upper 15, 20 feet of the water column, probably where the fish are going to be in the warmer water at the top, but that's me. All right, we're talking about this abysmal bill, Senate Bill 966, that was passed by the General Assembly, that was put in place by Senator Dyson and Senator Middleton and was amended. This is from the analysis. Because white-tailed deer thrive in habitat that is composed of woods and openings, and because hunter access in those areas is limited, suburban development has provided excellent deer habitat in the state, resulting in an escalation of deer populations in suburban areas. Higher populations of deer can lead to a greater number of negative interactions. Excuse me. Ooh, sneeze snuck up on me there. Sorry. Higher populations of deer can lead to greater number of negative interactions with suburban residents, such as deer vehicle collisions and vegetation damage. According to DNR, regulated hunting remains the most cost-effective deer population control mechanism available through most of the state. However, now this is in the fiscal and policy note that accompanies every bill in the General Assembly. However, DNR advises that allowing 3 additional months of shotgun deer hunting effectively eliminates its ability to manage deer populations in a scientific manner in the region. In other words, DNR biologists are no longer needed in Southern Maryland because Senator Dyson feels that he can control the deer population better than DNR. And control it he will. Shooting of pregnant does in February and March and antlerless bucks, that's a good way to manage the deer herd, which is not overpopulated, by the way, in Southern Maryland. the guys in Southern Maryland do a pretty good job of managing the deer herd themselves. So according to the bill's own fiscal policy note, fiscal and policy note, this bill effectively removes DNR's ability, eliminates is the word, its ability to manage deer populations in a scientific manner in this region. More after we talk to Gary. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
What's up?
Well, I got a story for you.
Go for it.
I got a phone call about 3 weeks ago, middle of the day, and it said, I'm looking for Gary. I said, yeah, it's Gary. He says, did you shoot a deer on December 28th and donate it to Preston Custom Cuts over on the Eastern Shore? I'm like, yeah, I think so. He says, well, I just pulled your name out of the hat for the Maryland Doe Harvest Hunters for the Hungry drawing.
Yeah, the Doe Harvest Challenge. We promoted it here. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That was probably Matt Wilson that called you.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes, it was. And he said, well, you just won $250 Bass Pro Shop gift card.
Well, Gary, have you listened to this show in the past?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you knew that from August through January, we were talking about the Doe Hunting Challenge.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
I was talking with the guy, a very nice guy, talked a little bit, and I told him, I said, it's really fortunate that you pulled my name out, because I actually donated two deer, one to Preston Custom Cuts and one to another place over near Denton, but I think I forgot to fill the tag out on the Doe Harvest Challenge tag.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, that might answer something. So he pulled your name out of the hat, but it has a different, from a different place, but it has a different phone number on it, you know?
Right.
And he said, do you have any other phone numbers? I said, well, yeah, I got my work number. I gave him that. He said, no, that's not it. And then he read it back to me. And then he read me the first six digits, and I finished it. I said, that's my home number. You call it yourself. So he pulled my name out twice on two different deer.
What's wrong with that?
Got me two
prizes, yeah. Two gift cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's wrong with that deal?
Yeah.
Now, you said near Denton, that would have either been Troy Tribbett's place over there, or what's the other one called near Denton?
Just on the west side of Denton.
Oh, they're both over there. They're both within 2 miles of each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Richard and Mike, what do they call it? Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, I hit twice. He said that there were 1,300 deer donated.
Yep.
And they had 60 prizes.
Yep.
So your chance of getting drawn was 5%, and your chance of getting drawn twice was 0.25%.
Well, you did the right thing, Gary, donating those deer. You know, I don't know how big the deer were, but, you know, the average-sized deer will feed will actually feed about 200 meals. If you figure a quarter pound of venison out of each, for each person, and the average amount of boneless deer and boneless meat in a deer is 50 pound,
yeah.
On a 100 pound deer, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
You just help feed, 400 meals, which is great.
It's a fantastic program. It's a great program.
Yep.
And no cost
to the hunter.
No, it's free. So that was really cool. And then I figured, good luck's enough, I keep in one of them, and I donated one of the gift cards to the Wounded Warrior Project.
Good for you. Good for you, man.
So,
all right, well, Gary, I'm glad you called in and told us about that great a bunch of prizes that you won. I'm not sure. Your name might be in the next Maryland Hunting Quarterly, if you're okay with that.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
We got, we're working with Matt even this week to promote the Doe Harvest Challenge for 2014-15 and also, you know, the Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry program. So I imagine they'll be back on the radio August through January again this year, and great folks to work with.
Yep, they were.
All right, buddy. Hey, okay. good news, Gary. Thank you very much. Drop me an email,
okay.
Gary. I want to send you an email back.
All right, sure thing.
Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Sure.
All right. There goes Gary. All right, folks. We'll be back with more in the next hour. Get out, stay out, stay safe out there in the turkey woods. Stimulated.